Good morning. Greeting in Jesus' name, and it's good to be here with you. So the last couple days, some of our family was gone to Wisconsin for a wedding, and my wife and I just got back in town last night, and yesterday afternoon I got a call from Cam, and there's been some flooding in our area, and they're looking to mobilize their rapid response team up just north of us in Westfield and Knoxville. And they're going to be coming up this afternoon, and there's going to be some men that need beds this evening. And my wife was feeling a little overwhelmed, like maybe her place is to be at home today. So she was not able to come along, but we, Lord willing, will be here in a couple weeks again at the district meetings. So a little bit about, before I go into the message, a little bit about some of the flooding in our area. Friday, there was a lot of rain, and there was, some of the towns had gotten some, sustained pretty much damage from the flooding, and there was several hundred houses that may have been affected, some of the, especially in the boroughs of Knoxville and Westfield, especially Westfield. And so certainly pray for that need, and like I mentioned, Cam is planning to be on site. I'll probably get Greg or Nelson some more information, but if your week isn't too full with your job, maybe you can rearrange your week a little bit, and it's an hour and 45 minutes from where we're sitting here, so it's a need that's very real and a need that isn't too far away, so if you can see your way clear, volunteering for some cleanup, I'm sure they would be thankful for that. So last evening, I was talking to Clint Allott, which is our state rep there in that area, and Cam was wanting to be put in touch with some local officials that could give them kind of a place to start with this. And he was kind of just telling us a little bit what happened, what was going on, some of the needs that there were. And he told us a story of, in Knoxville, there was a man of influence. He didn't give the man's name, but man of influence, man with some impact there in the community, was trying to save a neighbor's dog, of all things, and got swept away in the floodwaters. And they're still trying to find him. They assume that he probably is deceased, but they don't know. And he was talking about, well, the CAM representative said something about their search and rescue and being willing to come in and assist with that recovery, search and rescue. And Clint just said that, he said, well, I'll be in contact with some of the officials that are involved with that. He said, I will say, there's a lot of discouraged and people that are willing, ready to give up because it seems like such a big job and such a huge area to search. And so he said the morale is pretty low and they're not exactly sure where to go next. So he said maybe it would be good to introduce some fresh blood into that. And that story tied in well with my message that I was planning to preach this morning. Talking about perseverance. And my message title this morning is Perseverance or Defeat. And there's a lot of areas in life that require perseverance. We try to teach our children when they're young the importance of sticking at a job, especially a job that they don't like. It might start with doing the dishes or whatever the job might be. Stick at it. Persevere till you're done. And almost anything in life that we do requires some perseverance. So you think about, no matter what it is, if it's worthwhile, it probably requires some level of perseverance. But I would like to suggest there's probably nothing in life that's as important to persevere in as our Christian life. And maybe that's the hardest thing for us to persevere in as well. And it consistently choosing to do what's right and consistently persevering doesn't come natural. Choosing to do the right thing time and time again. And I suppose all of us know what it's like to be a little bit discouraged or have our morale get low in our Christian life, and we just feel like giving up and we don't feel like persevering. So my goal this morning is to offer some encouragement to keep on doing what's right and keep on persevering. I often use the whiteboard, and hopefully you can see this okay from the back. Galatians 6:9 is the verse I wanted to start with. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And I would like to look this morning at six keys to perseverance in our Christian life. And I have some Bible verses I'm going to get your help with. I'd like to have six volunteers to read the Bible verses that I have up here. And then if you stick with me till the end, I have an assignment for everyone. So if I could have some volunteers, Joshua 1:9, to read that verse for us. Romans 8:28. And then back there on the aisle, Ephesians 5:15-17. Philippians 4:8. 1 Peter 4:10. Back there. And James 1:12. Thank you. So as we go along this morning, I'll ask for those verses, and then I have a couple thoughts to go with each one. Again, my goal is that we could just, again, be renewed in our Christian life, and as we are going about, that we would be encouraged to persevere. So number one, connect with God, Joshua 1:9. So this was after Moses had died and Joshua was talking to the children of Israel, and he was encouraging them to be strong and of good courage and not to be dismayed, not to give up. And he reminded them of who they have on their side. And this was the God that had fought for them. It was the God that had brought them out of Egypt. It was the God that had helped them win their battles. It was the God that provided for them in the wilderness. And Joshua was saying, remember, this is who you have on your side. And this is the same God that we have on our side today. And in the devotions this morning, was it Trenton, talked about that, about being connected with God. And so often we try to run our lives a little like if we have a cell phone that's plugged into, you got the charger plugged in, but you don't have it plugged into the wall. And if we think about our lives being the cell phone and we need to have plugged into that power source, or we can run for a little while, we can run for a day or two maybe, but we do not have enough willpower and fortitude on our own to persevere. We must stay connected to God. We must stay connected to that power source. So, first key to perseverance is being connected with God. Romans 8:28. Who has that? I have for that one, surrender to God's plan. And sometimes, in fact, quite often, our ideal picture of life and what God has for us isn't going to look the same, right? I think probably all of us have been there. And our tendency is to fight that. It's like, this isn't what I want. This isn't what's best for me. At least I don't think so. And we fight God's plan for our lives. And my encouragement is, don't fight that. Remember this verse, all things work together. And often in life, those things that are working together for our good, maybe at the time, don't seem like they're working together for our good. And that is where it comes into place to surrender to God's plan. Think about Job and all the surrender it took for him to have all this going for him and all of it just taken away. And yet he surrendered to that. His testimony was, it's all God's anyhow. And so if God wants to take it away, he can do that. And in this life, we will never totally understand God's plan. There's going to be things that just do not make sense to us. But to succeed in our Christian life, it's important to remember this verse in Romans, that these things do work together for good, and we must accept it. And with acceptance comes peace. If we can just accept and surrender to God, there is peace, and it gives us the power that we need to persevere in our Christian life. Not only must we connect with God, but we must surrender to God's plan. Number 3, Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. I like the New International Version of this. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And I have number 3, in order to persevere in our Christian life, we need to live with focus. To be a successful Christian, we must live intentionally. We must get up in the morning and understand what our calling as a Christian is and what that looks like and what choices we need to make that a reality. And there's probably a fair amount of deer hunters here. And if you think about the intention with which you proceed with a hunt, it starts long before you go out in the woods. It's this time of the year, it's trail cameras and a mineral block with a trail camera and tracking what deer you might want to focus on or what deer you might want to target. And it's getting the tree stand or a hunting blind in place where you know you want to be and you have the best chance of success. And there's a lot of intention that goes into a successful hunt. And I think sometimes maybe we might be guilty of putting a little less intention than that into our Christian lives. And can we learn from deer hunters or whatever kind of hunter and take the kind of intention and planning in our Christian lives and, like it says here in Ephesians, make the most of every opportunity? And our success or lack of success in our Christian life depends on how intentional we are living. If we fail to live our Christian lives with focus, we likely won't have what it takes to persevere. So not only do we need to connect with God, we need to surrender to God's plan, we need to live with focus. Number 4, Philippians 4:8.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever
So as I mentioned, we were recently traveling. We flew from Philadelphia out to Minneapolis and back. And on our way out of Philadelphia, we got there early morning for an early morning flight. And the, like it usually is in the mornings, the first round of flights and TSA security was booked up, and there was a lot of people. I think there was probably a lot of people going to miss flights that morning. But there was a lady in charge of controlling the flow and everything there, and she had a mic on. And she was just being very rude and loud and obnoxious to a lot of passengers. And it was just, everybody around was kind of, you know, talking in subdued voices and kind of watching the conflict that was going on. And it was kind of, yeah, it was kind of a bad experience. And then on our way out of Minneapolis, you go into security and you always have those agents there that are checking your license, maybe your boarding pass or whatever. And we were watching this one guy that was, he was, I'm going to guess, 60, 65. And he was just one jolly TSA agent. And it was amazing to just, as we worked through the line, to watch people as they interacted with him. And he was making jokes and just being very happy and upbeat. And as we got through there, we ended up, my wife and I stepped up to his station there, and he was just, yeah, kind of making jokes and being happy and positive. And I said, well, this is one thing you don't see very often, and that's a happy TSA agent. And he said, I'm telling you, too many of them take themselves too seriously. And yeah, he was just, number four, I have stay positive. And we can apply that to our Christian lives. There is a lot of things. I imagine those TSA agents see a lot of people that are just disrespectful and rude and unkind and hard to be nice to. That's kind of how it is in our Christian life too, isn't it? There's a lot of things in our Christian life that can drag us down. There's plenty of negative things to focus on. But the key to persevering is staying positive and choosing to think on the things that are positive. Philippians 4:8 makes a list of those things. And this verse is inferring that there's plenty of other things that you don't want to focus on or that you don't want to dwell on. It says focus on these things, dwell on these things. The difference normally between a happy person and a grumpy person isn't the circumstances that they're being faced with, but the way they choose to face them. And when we can live our Christian lives by focusing on the positive things and the good things that God has blessed us with, we can be successful in our efforts to persevere. So number one, we need to connect with God. Number two, surrender to God's plan. Number three, we live with focus. Number four, stay positive. And then number five, 1 Peter 4:10. And for that verse, I have serve others. And this, 1 Peter 4:10 in the NIV says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And all of us have been created with talents. Mine are different than yours. Yours are different than mine. But all those talents are needed, and all those talents can be used to serve others. And we look at Jesus' example. His example of serving others, that's all he did. He didn't live for himself a day on his earthly life, but he served others. And that might seem sometimes sometimes like it's contradictory. How do we serve others, and how does that help us to persevere? But it does. We never know what our actions of service will do for someone. It may be the encouragement that they need to keep persevering in life. The last verse I have is James 1:12. That one I have, understand the importance of our mission. 43 years ago, on June 7, 1981, an attack squadron of 8 F-16 fighters and 6 F-15 fighter jets took off from the Israeli Air Force base in Etzion. And their goal was a surprise attack deep inside Iraq. Iraq had been developing a nuclear reactor, and the nation of Israel knew that if that thing got to completion, it would not be good. And for months, they began training for this mission. And it was a top secret mission, and the ones training for it didn't even know exactly what they were training for. They knew they were training for an important mission, but they didn't know what specifically it was. And when they took off that morning, they had been briefed. I don't remember if it was a day before or that morning, but it was very shortly before they took off. And when they were briefed on that mission, they understood what was at stake. They understood it was very likely that they may not get out of this mission alive, but they knew that failure was not an option. Success, it had to be successful. And each one of those F-16 fighter jets was carrying 2,000-pound bombs and enough fuel to complete the mission inside Iraq and back. And their goal was to fly directly to that reactor, drop their bombs on that reactor, and turn around and get back. And to do this, they had to fly over Jordanian and Saudi Arabian airspace and then into Iraq. And it was very important that this attack was a surprise, or it wasn't going to be successful. And so they took off, flew over the desert, and there were times when they were no more than 100 feet off the desert floor, and they were screaming across the desert, headed for Iraq. And these pilots knew how important their mission was, and they were laser focused on doing everything they had to do. They had spent months of training for this moment, and they didn't exactly know what they were training for, but when they got their briefing and they understood how momentous this was, they locked into that goal, and there was, in their minds, there was nothing else except for what they had to accomplish. And as it turns out, the mission was a success. Every one of the fighter pilots was able to deliver and hit their target, except for one possibly, but they were able to disable the reactor and get back to Israel, and the mission was a success. And I had to think about that. This verse in James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those that love him. And there's a sense in which we're put to the test in our Christian lives, kind of like those Israeli fighter pilots. And unless we really understand what our mission is and how important it is to be successful, we likely will not have what it takes to persevere. And that is, I don't remember how long that flight was, but it was incredibly uncomfortable and hot, and it took a ton of willpower and perseverance. And what kept them going was knowing the mission and understanding how important the success was. And that would be my challenge to us. We have a mission that's far more important than those Israeli fighter pilots back in 1981. And do we understand that? Are we understanding the importance of our mission? And I told you that I have an assignment for you. And I actually preached this message not that long ago at our congregation. And I said, in 2 weeks, it was my turn to moderate. And I said, the coming week or two, I want you to pick one of these and put it to practice in your life and be very intentional about applying one of those to your life. And then 2 weeks, I want to hear about it. So I guess it's up to you all if you want to do that here or not. But the assignment this morning is to take one of these, and there's probably, if you're like me, you can pick out one of those that maybe apply to you or you need more than some of the rest of them, and apply that. I would encourage you to apply that to your life. And my prayer is that we could all have the perseverance that it takes to reach that goal and complete our mission. Let's pray.